Inshallah, a brief lesson of hadith will take place. Brothers requested to participate. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد باب جواز الأخذ من غير مسألة ولا تطلع إليه. إمام النووي رحمة الله تعالى عليه has established a chapter heading in Riyad al-Salihin in which he discusses that it is permissible to take something if it's been given to you without having asked for it. Somebody gives you any gift, any money, anything, you didn't ask for it, you didn't desire it, you didn't seek it, you didn't want it, then it's permissible for you to take it. You shouldn't feel bad about it. وعن سالم بن عبد الله بن عمر عن أبيه عبد الله بن عمر عن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعنهم قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعطيني العطاء فأقول أعطه من هو أفقر إليه مني فقال خذه إذا جاءك من هذا المال شيء وأنت غير مشرف ولا سائل فخذه فتموله فإن شئت كله وإن شئت تصدق به وما لا فلا تتبعه نفسك. قال سالم فكان عبد الله لا يسأل أحدا شيئا ولا يرد شيئا أعطيه. متفق عليه. سيدنا سالم بن عبد الله بن عمر روایت فرماتے ہیں اپنے والد صاحب عبد الله بن عمر رضی اللہ عنہما سے. سالم بن عبد الله بن عمر was the grandson of سيدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. سيدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالى عنہ's son was عبد الله بن عمر رضی اللہ تعالى عنہما. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, his son was Salim. He was a tabi'i and from the greatest of the tabi'un. He was known as from the fuqaha al-sab'a. In Madinatul Munawwara, there were seven great imams, ulama, scholars. One of them was Salim bin Abdullah ibn Umar. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu had another student. His name was Nafi'a. Nafi'a Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar. Nafi'a was the freed slave. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu ke azad karda gulam. Nafi'a. اور عبداللہ بن عمر رضی اللہ تعالی عنہما کے صاحب زادے کے بیٹے سیدنا سالم دونوں بہت بڑے علماء محدثین فقہاء کرام میں ان کے شمار ہوتے ہیں. تو سیدنا سالم بن عبداللہ بن عمر رضی اللہ عنہما narrates from his father عبداللہ بن عمر رضی اللہ عنہما who narrates from his father سیدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ that رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم يعطيني العطاء he gave me some gift, some money. He gave me some gift, some money. فَأَقُولُ أَعْطِهِ مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَرُ إِلَيْهِ مِنِّي. So I said, Ya Rasulullah, give it to someone who is more in need of it than me. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu ko Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne kuch maal ata farmaya tha. To Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu farmati, ya Rasulullah isko kisi aur shakhs ko de do jo is maal ki zyada zarurat mand ho mujh se. فَقَالَ خُذْهُ إِذَا جَاءَكَ مِنْ هَذَا الْمَالِ شَيْءٌ وَأَنْتَ غَيْرُ مُشْتَ خُذْهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ne farmaya ki isko le lo. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, take it. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ya Rasulullah, just give it to somebody else. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still saying, take it. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, ki agar is maal mein se kuch hissa tumhare paas aa jaye aur tumhare dil ke andar maal ka israf na ho. Israf ye hai ki maal ka talab, dil hi dil ke andar insaan jo hai chahta hai ki isme se kuch hissa isko mile. It's called israf. Two words in Arabic, one is israf and one is israf. Israf is extravagance, wasting. So the Arab satis, when they go in jamaat, in one of the things, two things they say, stay away from. They say, stay away from israf, stay away from israf. And the israf, dil ka sawal, that a person wants something in the heart, you really want it. So this is khilaf of zuhud, khilaf of, this is against zuhud and against abstinence of the things of dunya, having, not having desire of things of dunya. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, agar tumhare paas maal mein se kuch hissa aa jaye aur tum is hal mein ho ke dil ke andar koi israf na ho, maal ka talab na ho, wala sa'ilun, tum kisi se mang bhi nahi rahe ho, fakhudhu, to isko le liya karo, fatamawwalhu, aur isko tumhare apne maal mein se bana liya karo. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, look, whenever any wealth comes to you in the state that you did not desire it, you didn't expect it, and you didn't ask for it, then take it and make it from your own wealth. فَإِن شِئْتَ كُلْهُ, اگر چاہتے ہو تو اس کو خود استعمال میں لگا لو. If you want, then use it yourself. وَإِن شِئْتَ تَصَدَّقْ بِهِ, اور اگر چاہتے ہو تو اس کو کسی اور مسکین محتاج کو دے دو. And if you want, then give it in charity to somebody else. وَمَا لَا فَلَا تُتْبِعْهُ نَفْسَكَ. And if this is not the case, meaning the money did not come to you in this way, you had israf, desire for it, or you asked for it, well, if you had israf for it, then do not go behind that wealth. If money comes to you from places you didn't expect, then take it. Well, make a caveat, as long as it's a halal place. See? Money comes to you from a haram place, doubtful place, the ulama say this is not a place you should take money from, then we shouldn't take money from there. So many things are doubtful. And I mention this every year in terms of our tarawih money. I mention this to all of our hafaz and hafaz, mashallah. Anything where the ulama have said this is doubtful, don't take it. Most ulama are saying Quran is not something that should be sold. Fard salah is an obligation. The imam who leads the fard salah, he's giving his waqt, his time. It's something necessary for an imam to lead the salah. But tarawih is not wajib, is not fard, it's sunnah. So we have to do these things. We have to be very careful about these things. Our deen, you know, it's an entire package. We can't pick and choose and take certain things and leave certain things. So the place that it's coming from has to be halal. Someone say, oh, take this money, I made dua, now take this money for doing dua. Why am I taking money for doing dua? Why am I taking money for something like this? So as long as it's coming from a place where it's valid. If I go to lead someone's nikah and they say, here, take some money. Now if I say, okay, that's fine, because I did give the time and I came and the nikah has to be, you know, conducted. So that's fine. But these kind of things we have to, and there's one is fake humility. No, I don't want it. I don't want it, but you really want it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us the principle here. You didn't expect the money, it came to you, take it. There's no problem. And in many other ahadith, there are other narrations where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, this is rizq from Allah ta'ala that was written for you. Why are you pushing it away? Because your rizq doesn't have to come through pesha. Rizq sirf pesha se aana, ye koi lazmi baat nahi hai. Baz dafa rizq insan ko mil jata, isko pata bhi nahi chalta kahan se rizq usko hasil ho gaya. Rizq and your sustenance does not only have to come through a source of income, a job. It can come from somewhere else. When two companions in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two brothers, one came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, ya Rasulullah, my brother, he's always with you. He's sitting in the masjid, he's learning ilm, and I'm the one doing all the hard work. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ. Maybe Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is giving you your rizq because you have allowed your brother to go and learn ilm. And the same principle Hazrat Mawlana Yahya sahab and Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi had. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi is always in the masjid. Always. He's sitting there doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's very weak. So someone said to Hazrat Mawlana Yahya sahab, who's the elder brother, hey, your brother is always in the masjid. He's just sitting around because people didn't see anything. They saw him sitting around. And our people have this thing, the khidmat of deen is that you are just, I don't know, running around like a, you know, like just crazy. Which is good understanding, fikr, and it means you're running around. But a person sitting in the masjid, what's going through their heart, ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zikr, azkar, all of this is important. It has to take place. And this next ayah of the Quran, actually this tafsir of this. So Hazrat Umar Yahya Sahib said, and he quoted the hadith, that my brother is engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's engaged in teaching, and he's engaged in the service of deen, and I hope that because of him, inshallah, Allah ta'ala bring barakah in my eyes. So we need to all do it in this way, because someone we give in our family, this person is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isko parishan mat karo ya. Isko chhod do. Let him go and let him, you know, help him. And strengthen him and let him do as much as he can, guide him. Make sure he has ikhlas. Make sure he has the right qualities, characteristics. But let him do what he has to do. And we will help and we will support him. And inshallah, Allah ta'ala will barakah in our rizq. So again, this hadith, the purpose behind this hadith is that many times, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with something, we get something, we shouldn't push it away. It's come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone's given a gift and didn't expect to take it, alhamdulillah. Never, you know, turn it away, reject hadiyah. Always take it. Again, the ulama mentioned a caveat here, unless it comes from someone who you know their income is 100% haram. If there's a chance that they have some halal income percentage, you can take it with the hope that inshallah it's from their halal income. But if their income is 100% haram, and our scholars would even have principles where sometimes they wouldn't take a gift because they would know that this person has a devious intention behind his gift. He's giving me a gift so that tomorrow he can come and say, oh, can you do this for me, please? And now you feel bad because yesterday he gave you, mashallah, a very nice gift. So this is why sometimes they would say, oh, I'm only going to take gifts from my very close people, and my usul and principle is I'm not going to take gifts from everybody. Because many times there's intention. Sometimes I say to brothers who sometimes give me gifts, that why are you giving it? And then they don't get upset because they're that type of brothers. Why are you giving it? If your intention is to get close to me or warm up to me, then don't give it. That intention is bad intention. I think to myself, how else am I going to explain to this brother? He's always giving gifts. If I say no, he might get upset. So let's explain it properly. And they understand. So we have to, these usul and principles are there in Sharia for everybody's well-being, everybody's safety, everybody's mental, mental comfort and clarity. Nobody's feeling stressed and anxious and I think he doesn't like me and I think this and I think that. All of that is cleared if we follow the Islamic principles. I'll start the next chapter and just do the ayat of Quran because it links in with today's chapter. بَابُ الْحَثِ عَلَى الْأَكْلِ مِنْ عَمَلْ يَدِهِ وَالتَّعَفُّفِ بِهِ عَنِ السُّؤَالِ وَالتَّعَرُّضِ لِلْإِعْطَاءِ. In this chapter, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is bringing a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is encouraging us to eat from that, from our own earnings, our own hard work. وَالتَّعَفُّفْ عَنِ السُّؤَالِ, and to not beg from other people. وَالتَّعَرُّضِ لِلْإِعْطَاءِ, and go to other people hoping that they will give us gifts. That I am, you know, poor, I need something. Go and work hard. If Allah has given you energy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you time, go and work hard. And do mehnat, and Allah ta'ala will bless you. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, جب نماز سے فارغ ہو جاؤ فانتشروا في الأرض, تو زمین میں پھیل جاؤ, اور اللہ تعالیٰ کی فضل سے ڈونڈو, طلب کرو اللہ تعالیٰ کی فضل, طلب کرو, ڈونڈو. That when the salah finishes in salat al-jum'ah, then scatter upon the earth and seek from the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the ulama have mentioned that this is rizq, that after you have finished jum'ah salah, go out and earn your livelihood. Allah Ta'ala will put barakah. Many of the great muhaddithun and scholars, it's been mentioned about them, that after they would perform the Jum'ah Salah, they'd go to the door of the masjid, say, Ya Allah, we performed our Jum'ah Salah now. Now we are going to earn our livelihood the way you have instructed us in the Quran. Oh Allah, please put barakah inside of it. And there were many others who would say that, I have seen for, I don't know, so many years of my life, that the most barakah in my rizq happens on a Friday after Jum'ah Salah, because Allah Ta'ala specifically is instructing. But at the same time, when we go and seek our rizq on the earth, not to become ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Continue to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively, because the purpose of your life is not rizq. purpose of your life is dhikrullah. So although you need rizq and you need to earn a halal livelihood, make sure you are constantly not forgetting your purpose of life. Even when you're buying and you're selling and you're doing any transaction, continue to keep your tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And deen and good a'mal is not only in dhikr of Allah, in our transaction, in our dealing with people, our behavior with people, exhibit the Islamic akhlaq and conduct and character. All of this is going to be good deeds which are going to be written for us whilst we are acquiring arizq. One amazing point I found, Allama Zamakhshari rahmatullahi mentions in his Kashaf that some scholars used to say this fadlillah is not referring to rizq as in paise. Because Allah Ta'ala is not saying paise talab kar, because in the Quran Allah Ta'ala always tells us to stay away from dunya. So rather he mentions Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, Sa'ib ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullahi used to say talabul ilm. Tawabtaghu min fadlillah means talabul ilm. That you finished your Jum'ah Salah, now go and gain knowledge of the Akhirah. This is min fadlillah, and Allah will give you your rizq. Others, great scholars would say, go and do Iyadatul Mariyid, go and, you know, go after the Janazah, and do visit the sick people, and do good deeds, and do Tilawatul Qur'an. This is wabtaghu min fadlillah. So they would say, we don't want to, in the Qur'an, so many times Allah Ta'ala is telling us, stay away from dunya. So although there's two opinions I'm mentioning here, but we can see the beauty. And as I'm connecting you back to the other opinion, where other hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to that one brother, maybe because of your second brother, Allah is giving you rizq. So do good a'mal, Allah Ta'ala is going to give you barakah in your wealth will come to you. Purpose is not, don't get rid of a livelihood, but do your livelihood, but spend plenty of time for the purpose of acquiring ilm, for the purpose of going visiting the pious people, for the purpose of doing all of these actions of Islam, visiting sick people. We can go through the whole list. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has an entire chapter, kathratu turuqil khayr. There are so many different ways to do good deeds. Good deeds is not just dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just tilawat of Quran, and just making sure I've read my 5 times salah in the masjid. So many ways of doing good deeds, we should go and explore all of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also look after our worldly needs as well. Inshallah, we are ready to do this. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah.